Good reminder, I forgot to eat dinner.
Oh, God.
Just never got to it, boys.
I'm Aaron,
bring that now.
That's foreboding.
Well, on that note, hi, dads.
Hi, dads.
Are you guys ready to start?
Yeah, man. Oh, I better start. I've only got 20 minutes before this all kicks in.
Before you hit the floor.
We got to blaze through this history real quick.
All right. Well, let's jump into it. Hi, dads.
Hi, dads.
Hey, Dad.
This is Cade, and Sean and Aaron are here with me.
Oh, yeah.
And tonight, we're going to be talking about the gin and tonic. This is our podcast. We're just a bunch of dads. We're not professional bartenders. But we do like cocktails. And, oh, boy. So what we do here is we pick a cocktail, we dissect it, we look at the history, we do classic version of it, and then we try to make some riffs on it just to explore it and see what we like about it, what we don't like about it, and I don't know, go from there.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Bless you.
Y'all heard that. Could not help it. Tonight's episode is the gin and tonic. So I've had a lot of gin and tonics.
It's bubbly, man.
Exploration. Yeah, it's bubbly. That came out of nowhere.
Tonic water is very bubbly. It's effervescent.
It's true. It's one of the few carbonated beverages I still consume, if I'm honest. That's not true.
Not at all.
What else do you consume that's carbonated?
Every now and again. You're about to find out a dirty secret.
Dirty secret.
Every time I'm at Publix, I get a 20-ounce Mountain Dew Code Red. Well, every time I'm at Publix,
no, hard. Like,
on a Friday, which was today, by the way, because over the weekend, I'll drink half of it one day and half of it the next day, and it's so wonderful. You guys remember
Mountain Dew Code Red? That's like the weirdest ritual I've ever
heard. That's very specific, Aaron.
It's not often, but man, when it happens,
I didn't even know they still made Mountain Dew Code Red. I thought that went away with, like, the first Call of Duty.
I got to tell you, they still make it, and it is still great.
It is a good drink.
Oh, gosh. It keeps you awake, too, and you're like, we, I don't know, maybe this is another dirty secret. We play video games late into the night sometimes on the weekends, so
yeah.
Got to have my Code Red, you know.
I didn't know you were over there slurping Code Red, Aaron.
Yeah, dude, I didn't know we were forcing you to juice.
Yeah, man. That's performance-enhancing beverages.
Don't.
I gotta play Rocket tonight. I need my Code Red.
Don't kid yourself. This would happen either way.
Okay.
No, but like I gave up. I pretty much stopped drinking soda like a while back, and just that's the one I still do. I'll drink it.
Sean, do you drink soda?
I love a good cola, man. But I have it cut out. Like, I don't buy it.
Yeah.
Unless I'm going on the road or something. Like, I need that caffeine. But I like all soft drinks, man. They're so good. So I can't keep them around or else I'll drink them.
Exactly.
I cut them out a long time ago. So college, the freshman 15s, like the whole big thing. Nobody makes a big deal about the first job, like 20. So my first job was like a research job, and I sat at a desk all day, and it was boring. So I drank a lot of Coke. I was like, I had my coffee in the morning, a Coke before lunch, Coke at lunch, and a afternoon Coke.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is nuts. This is too much. I gained weight. And so I had to cut it out.
Because you want the caffeine, but there's also all that sugar.
Exactly, yeah. Well, that's the sugar. I wasn't thinking about the sugar. I was still young.
I was at a conference last week, and they always put out coffee in the morning. But at lunchtime or mid-morning or mid-afternoon, I'd go to grab another coffee, and they didn't have coffee, but they had sodas. So I had my first Coca-Cola I've had in like a year, and it was delicious.
Oh, yeah, it's real good.
It's so good. They're so good.
Yeah.
If
I could get used to that diet flavor, I would drink soda for sure. I can't make.
You know, the Coke Zero is not bad. The new Coke Zero. It's really not bad.
To me, it tastes like you took half of a Coke and half of a Diet Coke and just poured them together.
I mean, I'm not saying it's as good as Coke.
It's like a fly in the cake, man. It ruins the whole thing. That's a bad analogy. It's like a it's like a drop of pee in the pool. No, that's not a good either. It's like a turd. It's like a turd in the pool. You're getting out the pool.
No, it's not that bad.
I'm just saying it taints the whole beverage.
Maybe that actually was the best one you came up with.
I don't want to go down that dark road of diet sodas and stuff like that because I still worry about the acid. That might be worse. What it does to your teeth.
Yeah, that might be worse.
But we'll sit here and drink cocktails all night, and that's perfectly healthy. So what we're gonna do?
Well, this has quinine in it. This is for health benefits. We're drinking tonic water tonight.
Yeah, we're not gonna get malaria.
I'm not getting malaria. Screw that. Well, it's mosquito season in New Orleans. I am not getting malaria.
Hey, let's not ruin Aaron's history. Let's start.
I gotta say, there's really no point in doing it now because history's over, listeners.
If you are playing along at home, tonight is the gin and tonic episode. So what the ingredients you need would be a tonic water, any tonic water of your choice, or multiple tonic waters, a gin or multiple gins of your choice, some ice, a glass or two, and some citruses. So lemon, lime, orange, cucumber, whatever.
Citrus, but
definitely lime.
They're all fruits. Lime would be preferred to start with. And also grab some bitters because any bitter you like, we've got
any bitter.
We're not going to laugh at you if you have some herbs handy either. If I'm honest.
Yep.
Oh, I got herbs.
Some herbs in there. Herbs. You do that to it. Some mint even. Get some of that. So
that's exactly what I got. Herbs and mint.
Well, herb is a mint.
Is it?
Mint is a herb. I said it mint right the first time. Shut
you
up.
You did. Perfect. So we just did our ingredients list. You have all your stuff prepped. Before you get started, though, I think Aaron's going to tell us a little bit about the history.
Got to tell you, it's not going to take too long, so I thought I would spice it up a bit. We're going to make Cade and Sean guess at certain points.
Ooh, a quiz.
Questions. Semi-quizzy.
Quiz and tonic.
We're going to do a quiz and tonic episode.
I love it.
So... basic history, if you have ever Googled it once, you probably know, you know, gin and tonic was, I don't know if invented is the right word, first established in India with, you know, British military officers in India were given tonic water to drink because it was established back then that tonic water, quinine more accurately, was a preventative for malaria, which was rampant in India. So question number one, where is quinine extracted from?
I think I know this. Sean, do you want to wager a guess?
When you say where, do you mean what country?
Or what is the source of quinine?
Okay. All right.
I think it comes from wormwood.
Sean, ooh. Care to rebut?
Elephant dung.
It's not that. Quinine is extracted from a little thing called cinchona bark. I should have looked up how to pronounce that.
We've established that this podcast does not care how things are pronounced.
Yeah, we should reiterate that.
You've cinchona. Like literally said quinine or quinine like four different ways. We clearly don't care.
Cinchona. Anyways, cinchona. That's fun to say. Cinchona bark. Some kind of bark of some kind of tree. The cinchona.
Okay, nice.
So, another little side note here. Does anybody know where gin was first created?
Is it not England?
I would guess definitely the UK.
Holland in the 17th century.
Oh.
Gin was first created as a medicine.
Damn it, I knew that.
And the medicine was named after the Dutch word for juniper. Does anybody know the Dutch word for juniper? Kate, I thought you would know this one.
Is it Genevieve?
Genevieve.
All right, I got the Dutch.
I think it's Jennifer.
They were in India. I think there's a quote, which I probably should have written down. There's a quote from Winston Churchill, like, take your medicine or something like that. But basically, he alluded to the old gin and tonics. We keep coming back to this guy.
If I had to guess, I bet he said something like, the gin and tonic drink has saved more Englishmen's lives and minds than all the doctors in the empire.
I think he's been practicing. While that was terrible, it was the best of the three. So good work.
Why y'all keep making me impersonate Winston Churchill?
No one has forced you to do any of those.
Forced. So they do you guys think we'll ever be able to do this in UK?
Oh, I hope never. So, maybe. I hope so. They're going to excommunicate us for sure, though. We really kind of shit on them every single episode. Yeah.
I'm not shitting on them. I thought that was a very flattering impersonation.
It was not.
It's interesting that you would think that. So, traditionally garnished with a lime. It's, in fact, very similar to our Gimlet episode. You know, in order to choke down their daily doses of quinine, they would add gin. They said, yeah, we got rations of gin. Throw some of that in there and some lime and sugar and water. Boom. Gin and tonic is born.
Nice. So, Aaron, what you're saying is these British officers, they got off the boat where they were drinking gimlets, which was, mm-hmm. you know, gin and lime juice and maybe some sugar. But then they're like, hey, you've got to drink this quinine.
So quinine is hard to get down. We're very bitter. No sugar, you know. So basically they created tonic water because quinine tastes terrible. So they were like, let's sweeten this. Let's put water in it. Let's water it down. Let's sweeten it. Throw some lime in there. And that's still not working. We need our gin. Last resort, throw the gin in. You know, gin and tonic is born.
When did the simple syrup leave? Is it because like now tonic water is sweeter than it was back then?
Yeah. So today tonic has less quinine in it on average, right? Unless you buy
because they learned it didn't work.
Yeah, I mean, I think just taste. People started the taste for the sweetness, right? Like, so people started drinking it because it's delicious. The whole malaria thing kind of fell off the map. Not everybody's in India. The drink makes it back to the UK. So people just start drinking it for taste at that point. And then it's like, well, who cares about quinine? We don't got mosquitoes. This England might, you know? So
you terrible.
Today's tonic has less quinine. It's typically sweeter. So that, you know, people get a taste for the sweet soda, as we've established. A little bit.
So when I first started drinking gin and tonics, I thought it was like soda water, and I didn't even realize it had sugar in it. And then one day I looked at the label and I was absolutely floored that it has so much sugar in it.
Sure.
I didn't have sugar. How much does it have?
I mean, tonic the calorie count.
Yeah,
I mean,
tonic is like
16 grams of sugar in this tiny bottle. Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah, tonic is very sweetened. It's funny that you mentioned when you first started drinking gin and tonic, you know, like gin is one of those things when you're poor and you're buying gin in college or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's gross. Bottom shelf gin's not good. Bad tonic is not good. In fact, if you go order a gin and tonic at the bar, I swear to God, half the time they just give you soda water. Water anyways, if it's coming out of the fountain, you know, it's the bartender, if you're at a dive bar, they're not knowing
they don't care, they're just turning up real quick.
So you're basically just drinking unsweetened gin with maybe a lime wedge if you're lucky.
And who are you to complain because they're like $5 a pop?
Right. What I've done tonight is I bought some nice Fever Tree, some bottled gin, I mean some bottled tonics. They're heavenly. It's real
different. They're not.
And even to tonight, honestly, I usually buy the cheaper tonic water just because it's just like, oh, just sweet bubbly water. Throw it in there, and yeah. I gotta tell you, these higher end tonic waters really do make a difference. It's a whole different drink, man.
They're smoother.
It accentuates the aromatics of your gin.
I feel like it's not quite as extreme as going from like Martini and Rossi to a nice vermouth. Like not that bad, but it's a little similar. It's similar to that, just not as big of a difference.
And I think that's going to be a recurring theme throughout this episode is the gin and tonic. It's a classic and it's a very simple recipe, but what you put in it, since there are so few ingredients, what you put in it is super, super important. You need to use a quality gin and you need to use a tonic water that you like and that either has flavors you enjoy or is muted enough that you can really, you know, let the gin shine through. So,
and same goes for the gin too. Yeah. You know, it's the tonic water. Like you might like a plain sort of tonic water and maybe even go soda water so that it's not all that flavor because you have a gin that you really like all the flavors in and you really want to taste the gin instead.
Yep.
Cade, for the listeners that have their ingredients and are just waiting and don't understand how to make a gin and tonic, can you walk them through real quick how to make a gin and tonic?
I will walk you through a classic gin and tonic that I would make any day of the summertime. What you're going to start with is a chilled highball glass. So just any tall glass is fine. Fill it with ice, let it start chilling. and go ahead and pour out 2 ounces of your favorite gin. Take those 2 ounces of gin and pour it into that glass. Next up, that's when I like to add whatever botanicals you're going to use. So a classic lime wedge is where I would go here. Just cut off 1/8 of a lime in a wedge, squeeze it into your glass, drop it in. Next up, grab some bitters. Angostura bitters is where I would go for this. 2 shakes of Angostura bitters. And at this point, I would just give it a little stir, let it soak a second, and then 4 ounces of tonic water. Again, any tonic water you like. I like during the summertime, an easy gin and tonic, I grab Canada Dry, and it's fantastic. And 4 ounces, put it in there, give it a stir or two, and you're literally good to go. You've got a refreshing, not too sweet, slightly bitter from all the other elements, classic drink.
Very classic. Very classic. So, Canada Dry makes a good tonic. You know, they make the best ginger ales as well. So I'm not surprised with the tonic.
Ooh, not the best ginger ale. Oh, that's going to be a whole other episode. We'll get into that.
Do you like Shasta?
Yeah, it's not ginger ale. Oh,
are you talking about ginger beers?
Well, all right. Listen, we don't have time for another day.
Canada Dry makes a fantastic ginger ale, Aaron.
I love fight you Canada on this. That dry ginger ale. Love it, love it, love it.
Name a better ginger ale.
We're talking about tonics tonight, and what I want to say is...
He thought we were talking about ginger beer. You know he did.
I do like a stronger... All right, we'll get into it. I do like a stronger ginger flavor than is in today's regular ginger ales, right? Like, it's not gingery enough, in my opinion.
What do you like?
I do typically get a ginger beer. What I'd also like is the Canada Dry Bold Ginger Ale. But
I've never heard of that.
Didn't even know about that, Aaron.
I've never heard of that. What?
It's like ginger beer, but it's way sweeter. So I if it has a fault, and it does, I think it's too sweet.
Okay. Okay. Interesting counterpoint.
Where do you find it?
It might have just been a temporary thing even. I just got it at like the grocery store. They come in 12-packs just like the regular Canada Dry.
So, Sean, while he's walking around Publix on Friday nights, just absolutely necking down. On
Code Red. There's no
code I'm red. One at like a month, 12 a year.
He's smashing a Code Red. He's just absolutely high off of this Code Red. He's giddy. He's caffeined.
Eyes are bugging out his face.
Yeah, and he's like, Canada Dry Bold Ginger Ale.
Gotta try that. So traditionally your gin and tonic is garnished with a lime. We've covered that, but sometimes, sometimes lemon and lime. There's a drink that is made with both lemon and lime. What is that drink called?
I don't know. Cause that's what I've been doing today.
Well, you're drinking an Evans, my man.
An Evans. Really?
That's what it's called in the UK. Apparently is an Evans.
I just was like, I had some lemons and I was like, you know, I kind of want to do some lemon juice in here as well. And it's really good. I liked it. So I've cut a lemon in half, and every gin and tonic I'm making, I'm not really measuring it out. I'm just giving it a little squeeze, get some lemon juice in there too.
Yeah.
But a half and half, I bet would be delicious.
Yeah. Just more both. It just said, it didn't say a measurement. It just said lemon and lime. So I think you're still there. Interesting. So lemon and lime, there's some debate, but lime is pretty much accepted as that's what goes in a gin and tonic. Plenty of other fruits, orange juice sometimes even, fruits, herbs, vegetables.
Basically, I feel like orange juice would be getting a little too far away from the flavor profile. Because sure. I agree that lime's like that. Lime is gin and tonic. Lemon's close enough, compliment it. You do orange, you're getting away. And that, to me, that would be something different.
Sure. So I think the note there was, or where I was going with that, is it's basically whatever accentuates your specific gin. Because one of the fun things about gin is the botanicals differ, right? Like there's so many different styles of gin. And I think that's probably... You know, I didn't give this episode a fair shake when, you know, if you listen to last episode, I was kind of down on the gin and tonic, but it is pretty versatile. There's a million different combinations you can do. It's pretty neat.
Does anyone have a table of gins, and like on the x-axis it's gins and on the y-axis it's flavor profiles that you should include with those gins?
That'd be neat.
That would be neat.
That'd be
cool. That would be neat. I've even read people putting grenadine, tea, or sorbet in their gin and tonics.
I didn't read grenadine.
Sorbet. Oh yeah, that sounds gross to me too. Grenadine's no thank you. But I think a lot of people use the cherry juice too. So I mean, I guess it's all over the place.
Okay. Honestly. Yeah.
So a couple more questions for you you two.
Bring it on.
It's running away. I can't wait for you to see the prize you're going to get in a couple weeks.
Ooh.
So in the 1700s, a Scottish doctor, I should ask y'all what country of origin, doesn't matter.
Scotland.
Scottish doctor named someone studied quinine and found the malaria thing, you know, found that it was helped prevent malaria. What's that doctor's name?
Dr. Quinn.
That's not right at all.
Dr. McCollum.
Closer, but I mean, it wasn't much of a competition. George Cleghorn.
Yep. That was my second guess.
Which is interesting because I also Googled that guy and it didn't say nothing about this. But anyways, supposedly that's the guy. How many?
Well, wait, hold on. What else did he do?
Oh man, I didn't write any of that down.
But he did a lot of other stuff.
He studied, I lost it, I think. Not going to happen. I didn't have dinner.
I'm sorry. Pardon me.
So it's been found that that's basically bogus. There is some, you know, effect for the quinine, whatever, however you pronounce it. There is absolutely, he was right, there absolutely is a preventative effect, but you would need to drink crazy amounts of quinine of gin and tonic to get enough quinine.
Oh, how much gin and tonic?
How many liters of gin and tonic per day would it take to effectively prevent malaria?
Liters of gin and tonic?
It's a British drink, baby.
So I got to think about what the ratio of quinine was back then.
Sean, make a guess.
That's close. 67 liters.
How much is that in gallons?
That would be almost 18 gallons.
The last one. Guess when International Gin and Tonic Day is. Anybody know?
Shit, is it tomorrow?
It's right now.
I would have never guessed October 19th because I would have thought summer, but nope.
The month of Halloween.
The closest to a consensus ratio I could find was 2 ounces of gin with 3 ounces of tonic. But I'm glad y'all did that walkthrough earlier because I don't think I've ever a single time in my life measured a gin and tonic. I basically just free pour the tonic and the gin together and then garnish it, squeeze the whatever in there and we're done.
Oh, so I always do 2-to-1 tonic to gin.
Oh, wait, man. It's just that's the thing. The ratios are really all over the place. I said the closest I could get to a consensus because every single place that you go, it's like different.
So that's my own personal ratio. I mean, and I have experimented a lot with gin and tonic and mm-hmm. I've had charts out. Like I kept a log one summer and I found what is the easiest to remember and that I like the most is 2-to-1 tonic to gin.
Yeah. 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 That, you know what?
That's a good, all, that's a good trick about. That I found when you don't have like a measuring thing handy, just put the ice in your glass and fill the gin up till it comes up to about the top of the ice and then top off the rest with the gin.
What if you had a really tall glass?
Well, then you're gonna have a really fun night.
That sounds like a horrible
basically you're dialing it into taste and just try to remember that. Like I know about how to free pour to my own taste. I pour the gin slower than the tonic, obviously.
So Sean acted like that was such a foolproof method. Yeah. Like,
we're moving on.
It depends on how much ice you put in there and how big the glass is.
He also said fill it completely up with ice and then fill it up to the top of the ice. Like there's no room after that. I didn't say
fill it up completely with
that's
ice.
That's the worst advice I've ever heard.
I did say fill the gin up to the top of the ice.
Lord.
So guys, we've made a basic gin and tonic. We're going to look at some riffs here in a second. Enjoy your drink. We're going to do the same, and we'll be back in just a moment.
You guys ever think about how, like, giant squids probably think that they're the dominant species on this planet?
No.
never thought that.
Let's think about it. They live in the deep ocean. We never see them. They dominate their habitat. Wildly, brilliantly smart.
Did they dominate their habitat?
Are you serious?
Are they smart?
Do they eat sharks?
Them guys are down there probably like in the deep ocean just probably. Dominating the shit out of probably. Everybody.
Are they making a podcast?
I guarantee it.
Hi, squids.
You ever think that there's these jerks up in the surface doing a podcast?
Y'all know squids are smart as hell. Come on. Get out of here. Octopus.
All of it.
You know anyway. Those are different things, right?
Yeah, of course they are, but they got a lot of legs.
So do centipedes, but they're not sure smart. He does.
Y'all know them squids are smart. Get out of here. Anyways, you ever thought about that?
Are you okay, man? Aaron, step us through this next drink. I got a glass with ice in it.
Let's do it.
All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to list out for y'all all my options, and then I'm going to make you a drink. So what I did was I just bought a ton of stuff. I bought some Fever Tree aromatic bitters, which apparently is new. I've bought some Fever Tree Mediterranean tonic water, which I guess is more floral botanicals. And then I bought their Indian tonic water, which is, I guess, the more quinine, forward tonic. All of them are delightful. I've tried them all. Then I'm rocking with some Boodle's British Dry Gin, some Boodles. Aviation American Gin, and then a new bottle of Hendrix, which I'm about to break open right now.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. As far as garnish goes, I got a bowl of citrus. I got an orange. I won't use that probably. I've got some lemons. I got some limes, some rosemary. The cucumber. So what I'm going to do for this Hendrix is I'm going to slice me a little piece of cucumber real quick. I got my glass with used limes in it already. I'm just reaching the same glass over and over again. Give me a little slice of cucumber. I'm going to rub that cucumber around the rim, and I'm going to just drop her in. I'm not muddling. I'm just going to get a light cucumber flavor. I'm going to pour a little Hendrix gin in, and I don't know. What do you guys think? Which tonic should I use? I'm thinking... I'm gonna go
Fever Tree.
What is it?
Fever Tree.
Should I use aromatic Mediterranean?
Go with Mediterranean.
I think you're right. It needs to be more floral for this, I think. I think you're right. So a little bit of Hendrix, a little bit of Mediterranean. And I'm also going to add some Jack Rudy Cocktail Company. Ooh. Batch number 10, Lavender Bitters, handcrafted in Boulder, Colorado.
Nice.
Drops, let's do like 4 drops of that in there.
Give I've got some cucumber lavender bitters.
I'm going to give it a light, very light little, not a stir. We're going to call it like a mix, like a lift. You don't want to flatten out your tonic. That's wonderful. That's really good.
Cucumbery, floral, aromatic, hint of lavender. That's quite nice.
What, you say floral. What flower are we talking here?
I think it's just lighter. It's just no, like lighter and brighter. I guess is what I mean by that. It's not as heavy as the Indian quinine tonic. It's brighter. Is that a good description? It's brighter.
Sure it is.
Yeah. It would pass on. But top then, chef.
But then the cucumber brings it down. Like the cucumber's the base note. Down in there and it balances, but I'm glad you told me it's floral. That was the right call for this.
Did you use which gin did you use?
Hendrix.
So I think Hendrix might have some rose in it.
Ooh, you probably
it's definitely right. Got cucumber.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, this big old slice of cucumber's got some cucumber too.
Yeah, that's why they mesh well.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
That sounds delightful.
It looks like water. Tastes like alcohol.
John, what are you making?
So I just finished mine. I'm using Boodle's gin.
Mm.
And let me just say, Boodle's, you changed your bottle. You didn't think we would notice, but we did.
We noticed.
We did. The cap is different. And here I am thinking that I could just change out the cap. Remember, guys, I noted to y'all that the bottle seemed a little different in addition to just the cap.
The old cap won't fit the new bottle?
The old cap won't fit the new bottle, I can't even switch. Like, the bottle used to have this really nice, heavy cap, and it was nice and big. It was a really cool cap, and now it's just one of those, like, really flimsy, cheap aluminum ones. And I told myself I'm gonna keep the old one. You just switch bottles. Didn't work.
How dare you, Boodles?
You know what you could do?
I'm gonna pour the new Boodles into the old bottle 100%.
There you go. There you go.
Because this new lid is BS.
That's COVID for you.
You heard it here first, Boodles.
That's some COVID years. They're saving money.
Yeah, you know what? If it keeps their gin as cheap as it is for as good as a gin, I guess I can deal.
I agree with that.
That's true.
We can't advertise Boodles too much, because if we ever do get a lot of followers,
it's already hard all buying to find. It's already hard to find.
No, I mean, they're going to increase their price. We don't want that.
Yeah, I don't want any of that.
Y'all remember Buffalo Trace used to be super cheap like that until it got popular and they jacked the price up.
Yeah. Well, Rebel Yell.
I love Boodles, Jen.
I want to give you credit for something. Oh, you know what? I might give y'all credit for a couple things.
Okay.
Cade turned us on to Boodles, and he's right. It is delicious, affordable. It's great gin. It's quality, simple, but easy.
Cade turned me on to gin in general.
And that's where I was going next. Yeah. Yeah, man.
In general.
Yeah. And said that.
Cade was our general.
Oh.
Full circle. I remember being in college and Kay drinking martinis after martinis. Awesomely. And me being like, come on, man. That's gin, though. Ugh. Like, just being grossed out by it. But again, we've covered this. You know, my experiences with gin were not what they should have been. So once I finally got over that hump of just diving into it, it's a whole world that's delicious. So.
We've gotten a lot better, and we found a lot better gin.
That's true. Years. Once you can afford good gin, I think that's really the key there.
Yeah.
And then Sean taught me this. Also, citrus. I think citrus is a real key to gin. Most of your good gin drinks are going to have some kind of a citrus element to it, I think.
But I think a lot of people, you know, we mentioned this about cheap gin, but also people are just used to, like, their exposure to gin is the cheap gin and tonic as
mm-hmm.
well. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, you're at penny pitchers, right? Or quarter cocktail night at the bar on Thursday night in college, and you're either getting whiskey and coke or a gin and tonic or rum and coke, right?
Oh yeah.
And it is the bottomest of shelf liquors, and it's the bottomest of shelf sodas. So you mentioned earlier, Aaron, you're probably getting soda water,
exactly,
not even
right.
tonic. So you're getting those quarter gin and tonics, and you're like, you know what? This is just palatable. I'll deal with the terrible hangover tomorrow. It tastes like gasoline, whatever. But it doesn't have to be that way. The gin and tonics I've been making tonight are just, they're simple, they're easy, but also, man, like, if you're just paying $10 along any other cocktail, I'd be happy. I wouldn't care. I'd be like, this is worth this. It's just like getting a really nice gimlet, you know?
Absolutely.
So what I did my ice. I've got 2 ounces of Boodles gin, and I've got Fever Tree Elderflower tonic water.
Ooh,
it's really good. But again, Cade, you're using Canada Dry. This would also be great with Canada Dry. But so 2 ounces of gin over the ice. I do a quarter of a lime, and then I've got a lemon wedge, and I'm not really measuring the lemon. I'm just doing it a quick little squeeze in to get some of that. And then I fill up the top of my cup. It's about 4 ounces of the Fever Tree Elderflower tonic water. I also did some orange bitters. And Aaron, you've got lavender bitters. I've got El Guapo brand.
Ooh.
Again, El Guapo. They've got
Where's El Guapo from, Sean?
Handcrafted in New Orleans. Oh, they've got an amazing line of bitters. Cade, I wouldn't use them if it wasn't great. And these are cucumber lavender.
Nice.
So, and then I've also got Polynesian Kiss.
Nice.
So the Polynesian Kiss is guava, passion fruit, pineapple, coconut with exotic flowers and spices.
That sounds great.
It's awesome. So this one, this particular one, I did all three of those bitters. Other times I'll just pick one of them. But the orange bitters, everybody probably has orange bitters. If you use those, just the Angostura orange bitters are great. I like to change up the bitters I'm using every time. Anyway, this one's great. And so I mixed it up, stirred it. I got the fizz, and I've got some fresh mint out of my garden. I didn't muddle it or anything, but I just did a quick hand slap over it and threw it in.
I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah.
Can I interject something here?
Because
I've done an update to my drink that I described a minute ago. I don't know if y'all heard a big slap earlier. I took like a little four-leaf piece of rosemary and I just high-fived it with myself and dropped it down into this drink with the cucumber and the lime. And I added a fifth element to this guy of rosemary.
Multipass.
And
multipass.
Great movie. And and
I thought you said elephant.
I said
until Cade said multipass, I thought you said elephant.
No way. Fifth element.
You thought he said the fifth elephant?
No, I thought you said elephant.
I cannot move past this. I want to describe the string so bad.
Yeah,
the
all right. Element.
You thought I said the fifth element?
The fifth element. Obviously, one of the greatest movies ever made.
I can't see that movie on TV without stopping for a few minutes at least, if not finish the whole thing.
I would challenge any listener.
Some states have a law.
If you've seen that movie and you didn't like it, then blast us away on Instagram. Please send us a message and say, I didn't like the fifth.
Yeah, I want to know who you are.
Guys, I'm
where do you get off?
Who do you think you are?
I'm pretty sure this is one of those movies that people either love or hate. I know we all love it.
Gives you the right.
All right.
What gives you the right?
So anyways, it really... So what is it? Cucumber, rosemary, tonic water.
Yeah.
Gin and some lime wedges from previous drinks. It's wonderful.
That herbal scent, like not even muddled into the actual drink.
No, I just slapped and dropped in.
Yeah, that's what I did with the mint. And honestly, the drink I had right before this one, I did the same thing with rosemary. And it was awesome. So I'm a big fan. You don't have to muddle it. Just get a sprig of it just for garnish. It's easy. Just clap it in your hands and drop it in your drink. And when you take a sip, you get a little bit of that, like the aromas in your nose, and it just it's even more refreshing than just a plain gin and tonic. Which gin and tonic, by the way, did we mention that it's an amazing summer cocktail?
It is.
Is it
every October 19th?
Like, you well, in all fairness, in the South, October 19th is still a hot cocktail day.
For sure. I think smell. Very important to the gin and tonic. You got the aromatics in the gin. You got the tonic, the same kind of deal. I think smell is super important to this drink.
Yeah, it is. I might would even drop in rosemary and mint.
Ooh, I bet that'd be good.
Do it.
Remember when you came over to my house for like a best friend weekend? And
I remember that. He's clearly talking to me.
And we roasted a leg of lamb. You remember
that? Oh my God, yeah.
The paste that I made to go on the outside of that was out of my garden, and it was fresh rosemary, fresh mint, and then just sea salt, black pepper, and garlic and olive oil, and that's what I pasted on the...
It was really good.
My favorite part of that was... I've not had better leg of lamb at restaurants, man. That was so good.
My favorite part of that is it was literally just me and you.
And John.
That's right. John was there. Okay.
Poor John.
I totally forgot John was there. We've done this stuff. We've done so many weekends when it was literally just
me and you. Oh, yeah. And John.
And that other guy.
The lamb was so good. I forgot about the third person.
John.
He'll never listen. That dude's got 9 kids.
We've mentioned my friend John. He just had his fifth kid. Mazel tov.
I was not far off. We got to have him on, though, because he could tell us some stuff about being a dad.
By the time you have five, like, what's the difference? Five, ten? I mean, come on. He's already at the point where, like, he can let his oldest kid watch all the younger ones. So, like, why not just keep having them?
Well, he hasn't had a single one in college yet, so I think that would probably be my answer.
That's true, or just any money. I mean, yeah. That sounds expensive too. Sounds I didn't think terrifying. About the money aspect.
Sounds terrifying.
I don't know where the time in a day would come from at this point, like to even comprehend it. Like I wasn't even thinking about it monetarily.
Oh, I'm
thinking
yeah.
about like the actual logistics well, so, but, of it. Like what is, how
what,
how
what is your what is your oldest? Like two, three? Like you're still what? In the very active, like you gotta do everything for them phase.
Yeah, like so what eventually... vehicle holds all of them.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
What
I don't
size
know how they're
fridge
driving.
Do you have
oh,
to yeah. get? I don't have any more fridge real estate.
Mm. There's no way they don't have four fridges. They gotta have four fridges.
Right? They're deep.
How do you make dinner? Like, where do you get the time to make a food?
Yeah.
Like, do you order it all? Does it all just show up cooked?
We're going down an anxiety induced road.
Seriously. you're giving me anxiety thinking about this.
John, I know you're listening to this right now, and I just
definitely
gotta
not.
Say congratulations.
Yeah.
But also, like, you're
he
I,
has a newborn.
I don't know how you're doing it, man.
We left
like,
that out. He has a newborn. The last
yeah,
one is
he
newly
just had
born.
The fifth. I don't know how you're doing it, and I'm really proud of you. And keep it up, but like, stop, like, cut
no,
it out.
don't keep it up.
Stop. You're good, man.
I am a fan.
Save
of the surgical option. Your body, your choice, my man.
Yeah.
This guy is going to get so many neckties when he's older.
Oh, yeah. He'll have plenty of socks. Let's
like
be real.
Like Christmas when these kids get older and have to start buying gifts. He's got five of them that are going to pitch in on a $40 button down.
How many burps do we have?
Good break.
A
there.
Lot of tonic water.
That was a nice burp break. But so Aaron's made a drink. Sean's made a drink. Let's take a little break, and we're going to sip these, and we'll be right back.
Man, I bought a perfectly ripe pineapple today. It's yellow. It's perfect. It's big. It feels juicy. It's great. I can't wait to slice it. I don't know if y'all can tell I'm smiling or not, but I'm really excited about this pineapple. I can't. Explain it to you enough. How excited about this pineapple I am.
Yeah.
Being a dad is boring.
Being a dad, it means getting excited about pineapples.
Golly.
I bet this dude looked through like 70 pineapples.
I really
probably
didn't.
Did.
I did not even go to Publix for pineapple, but they had four of them sitting there. And I always look at the price first because I don't want to get seduced by a perfectly ripe.
Are you walking around drinking your Code Red?
No, man, not yet. But I don't want to get seduced.
Oh, you bought this pineapple uncode redded?
Yes, sir. And I didn't want to get seduced by a perfectly ripe pineapple because sometimes they're like $6. So I look at the price and it's $3.99. I'm like, well, that is almost the cheapest you find a pineapple.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm buying one, and I look up, every single one of them ripe. And I'm like, oh, yeah, today's your day, my man. And
I bet he starts bebopping around the store like, it's pineapple day.
Gonna
get a Code Red.
You're not far off.
Pineapple day.
You're not far off. Because I was very excited after that. This is before the day turned sour, which we won't talk about. But that was the high point right there. Well, now is the high point. But then that was high point number one.
That was the current high point. That was the first crest.
Correct.
Of your Friday.
Oh, boy. It was great. Y'all know y'all love a good pineapple. Oh, man.
I love pineapple.
We are way off track.
So, Kate, you made a special.
A drink, baby.
Yeah.
Are we back?
Yeah.
Well, now that we're back and we've discussed pineapples so thoroughly, I'm going to talk to you about the gin and tonic I'm going to make. So I've got a various selection of gins here. I've got Hendrix Neptunia gin, which is a Hendrix variant that is more coastal citrus flavors. There's some thyme in there, some coastal limes. I do like it. And I really like Hendrix gin. I used to drink it a lot. And then I moved to lots of different other gins. My go-to is either Boodles or Aviation Gin. I have a bottle of Aviation Gin here as well. I also have a bottle of Malfi Gin, which is a grapefruit-flavored gin from Italy. So, and it yeah. is strong.
It's a spicy grapefruit.
It is very strong in the grapefruit flavor. I think you could have this gin in a tonic without any bitters.
You like the gin and tonic?
Yeah, I do. I do.
You
I
like think the you gin do... and tonic with the grapefruit?
This sounds very, very cartoonish.
Yeah. But so the Malfi is super grapefruit infused. I think you could do the Malfi with a slash of lime and some tonic water and be done with no bitters. It's got a good grapefruit flavor. But so what I'm making this time is I'm just going to use the classic Aviation gin. I really like it. It's an American dry gin. American. It's not super strong. Why isn't it called Canadian dry gin? I kind of wonder. But anyway.
Because you said American.
But Ryan Reynolds.
It's not because he said it.
Oh, Ryan Reynolds.
Because you said it was American.
Did you mean North American?
Maybe it's North American.
Is he a Canadian citizen? I didn't know that.
I'm sure at this point he's dual citizen.
Well, if so he's also American.
Turned away Ryan Reynolds from being added to this country, then
I wouldn't be surprised.
It depends on if he
sorry,
applied
America.
So I'm using Aviation gin, and it's an American dry gin. My buddy brought me some airplane bottles, and I tried it there, and I've got the identical extra large bottle, and it's really good. So
it's a little on the nose, don't you think?
I think it's fantastic, actually.
No, I mean serving Aviation gin on an airplane.
Oh, I think that was intentional.
Seems like bull crap. They're in it for the cheap laughs.
Not Ryan Reynolds.
You can't even taste on an airplane. You can't taste anything. You could serve any gin. They're going to taste, oh, there's alcohol.
Aaron, if you can't taste anything and you're flying on airplanes, you're a COVID super spreader. Stop
I can
it.
Only not taste on an airplane. You're
stop getting on airplanes.
You can't taste on an airplane.
You know what's good on an airplane? Canada Dry ginger ale.
I do always get ginger ale.
So what I'm doing is I'm taking a small glass, filling it with ice. I'm doing just a simple slice of lime. And Sean kind of took a poo-poo on the orange earlier. I'm using a slice of blood orange. And
ooh. Oh, snap!
So, I just think it takes it away from the classic flavor. Like, I'm sure it's delicious.
History says it is a classic flavor.
In your defense, you kept saying orange juice, which sounds a lot grosser than a slice of orange.
What's up in
love
there?
Orange
though?
Juice, though.
What's up in the slice of orange, Kate? Orange juice.
Agreed. But so I'm using a slice of blood orange, and I'm squeezing it in there, full squeeze. A slice of lime, full squeeze, dropping it in. I'm also doing just a little sprig of mint, and then a little bitty dash, like really seriously, like a single dash of Angostura bitters. And I'm usually heavy-handed with the bitters, but I'm doing that. I'm doing 2 ounces.
Gin and tonic's all about subtlety.
Yeah. It is. It's subtle. Yeah. It's subtle notes, and they all kind of build and layer together. 2 ounces of the Aviation American gin and 4 ounces of Canada Dry tonic water. I'm giving it one little stir, and it's a great gin and tonic.
Isn't that mint, like that fresh sprig of mint, so good in there?
I think everything about a gin and tonic, I mean, the gin's got to shine through. Canada Dry is not a strong tonic water. I've got some Fever Tree here, but I like a more subtle tonic water. I don't want my tonic water coming through as hard. So I like a simple Canada Dry and let the gin shine through, let the citrus shine through and enjoy it.
So I don't think I mentioned earlier what I thought of the elderflower tonic water that I put in my gin and tonic.
I started to ask, how was it?
Flavor I have from elderflower is like Saint Germain.
Yeah.
It's like really, like that really sweet. And this is very sweet, but the flavor's a little different than that. I was expecting more of the flavor like the liqueur, but it's not bad. I also have the Fever Tree citrus tonic water. And I know it's a little more on the nose, like, oh, okay, citrus tonic water with lime juice and lemon juice, but it really does just complement the gin and tonic better than the elderflower does.
I almost brought down my Saint Germain to add a little splash of elderflower, but I was worried.
I bet it would be really good. See, I thought about that too, though. Putting in liqueur, I bet you could add.
I wonder what Luxardo's like in here.
Yes, a shot. Yeah. I was gonna say that a shot of Luxardo,
doing it
shot
right now.
Elderflower, yeah. Just to give it that extra. You know, it's like a little more pungent. It takes away from like the tonic water space, so it makes it a little bit of a heavier cocktail. I feel like you get into a little bit more of a cocktail area there. You know, a lot of gin cocktails.
Stop what you're doing.
Make. Yeah, what you got?
Go put some Luxardo in there. Just like a dash. Not much.
Can I tell you what I did earlier this week? And while we were researching gin and tonics, I did half tonic water and half dry vermouth. And
there's a name for that.
There actually is. I came across it when I was reading, but I forgot to jot that one down.
I really like the flavors and the complexity of it. My wife tried it and she did not care for it, but I really enjoyed it.
Speaking of your wife, adding
elderflower liqueur makes your gin and tonic. It's called the Parisian.
Ooh. I do like the names they have for these offshoots. They're all very fancy sounding.
Yeah, the Parisian.
Apparently, me using the elderflower flavored tonic water and a sprig of mint, which is exactly what I've got, is called a too cool.
Too cool.
Too cool.
Hey, Sean, while we're talking about this, I think we should do a nice little easy segue into drinks we make for our wives.
Drinks we make for our wives. I made a gin-based drink for my wife earlier this week because we have an abundance of breast milk.
Where is this going?
It is taking up all of the space in my fridge and freezer.
I did not know that was going to be the origin story.
I've got two babies drinking all this breast milk, and I still have way too much surplus. What's this have to do with gin?
Aaron, let him drive this ship. Come on, bring us in, Sean. Where are we going?
You want to know where we're going?
Where we're going?
She can pump and dump. I said, Mary, you deserve a cocktail. It doesn't matter that you're pumping breast milk. We'll just make it and pour it out, okay? Right. So I made her a gin drink called the East Side, which is a riff on the South Side. In general, the South Side is kind of like a gimlet. So we said in the gimlet episode, the gimlet is your base for a lot of really good gin cocktails. The South Side is one of them. So you've got your gin component. You've got your simple syrup component. Right now in my fridge, all I've got is some homemade Demerara syrup.
And lots of breast milk.
And lots of breast milk. I didn't put breast milk in there.
He said in the freezer.
Okay.
No, in the fridge as well, but the fridge is, that's the stock for the kids to eat. Anyway, so, but then you also need some cucumber slices and fresh mint. And so what I did inside of my shaker, I put in like 10 mint leaves. I quartered up two slices of a cucumber, and I put in some bitters, muddled all of that together. Then I added my simple syrup, muddled that just a little bit to kind of incorporate the flavors into the sugar. And then I crafted the cocktail. I put in 1 ounce of lime juice, 2 ounces of Aviation Ryan Reynolds gin. And then some ice and shake it all up. And I did a double strain to just kind of get, you know, because when you muddle cucumber, especially, and the mint, you need a double strain. Normally, like, you would double strain just to keep the ice bits out. But this would have had a lot of cucumber and mint bits in it as well. So I double strained it into a Nick and Nora. And I got, like, the fattest mint leaves I could find on a sprig of vine in my garden. And I snipped that, gave it a slap and tickle, and put it in her cocktail and gave it to her. And this was her reaction.
It's pretty. First, I have to smell it. This is one of the first cocktails I've had in like a year. It smells good. I dig it. It's really good. But you know, I need Ryan Reynolds. I've been wanting Ryan Reynolds, please.
What'd she say?
Well, listen. Listen to the
Aaron,
audio.
Aaron still hasn't figured it out.
That I'm
about Aaron
to
still
play.
Hasn't figured out that we're inserting audio when he says that.
So, and she really
talks
enjoyed it.
For
5 minutes. Good. Goodness. Yeah. Mary.
I think she has a. I think she has a thing for Ryan Reynolds.
Who doesn't, though? Who doesn't?
That's true.
You know, one of these days.
Join the club.
The High Dads will be popular enough for Ryan Reynolds to join in, or will be so unpopular enough that he joins in ironically.
I think
either
the
way
is much
either
more
way,
likely.
I'm totally cool.
You have this option he could do now. Let's be real.
Yeah, he could jump in anytime.
Ryan, if you're listening, we suck without you, buddy.
And
you
I know for a fact he is.
Hey, Ryan, we watched Free Guy and The Adam Project, so...
I did. I watched both.
Yeah.
No, listen, if you have seen Green Lantern, I feel like that's where he should...
I have watched Green Lantern.
Ryan, he watched Green Lantern, dude. You better be on this podcast.
Here's the thing. I watched Green Lantern, like, years after it came out and had been panned, and I was like...
I did, too.
Honestly. I was like, it can't be that bad. It's Ryan
Reynolds.
That's my
exact same experience. I watched it after it was panned, and I was like, oh, yeah, it can't be that bad.
I still enjoyed it. Like, it wasn't a great movie, but, you know, he
I
made it.
Like, I remember being like, well, now I understand what the shit was about. This was boring.
sorry, Ryan, but that was a bad movie, man.
I've actually never seen it.
I'm proud you stuck with it. I really enjoyed your Deadpool character.
It's probably the only Ryan Reynolds movie I've not seen is Green Lantern.
Hey, you
seen The Proposal?
Can you watch it? Oh, I like The Proposal. Oh, come on.
Yeah, now. I've seen The Proposal.
Come on now. Can I tell you why I like The Proposal?
Because Sandy Bullock and Ryan
Sandy
Reynolds
Bullock.
Both do a nude scene together.
That's
Whoa,
reason number
did
one.
They?
Reason
Have you
number
not
two.
Seen The Proposal?
I've seen it. I didn't know they had a nude scene.
Did you close your eyes?
Yeah. I always do.
Your girlfriend at the time was like, close your eyes during this scene.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hilarious.
I'm convinced that Aaron found that very funny.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
And we're back.
All right. Oh my goodness.
All right. So guys, we've had several gin and tonics. The fun thing about gin and tonics is you can just keep trying variations, and
truck them down too. They're so easy.
I would say this has been our highest consumption episode to date.
It's Listen, very possible.
I've only had several.
Yep.
Where
They're so
here?
Easy to drink. Like, even
you know
to
what would be funny? Oh, sorry.
No.
It would be funny if I interrupted
go
the
ahead.
Mary story.
No, go, Sean. Pick it up.
So, my wife used to cast extras in movies. And as part of that, to get to go to the rap parties. Like, when a production ends, they have this big rap party. And it was the best part of her job. And COVID hit and ruined that. But anyway, the drinks there weren't, like, bottom shelf. But they weren't top shelf. So, I would go and get gin and tonics. But it was, like, Tanqueray and tonics. And those are palatable. They're, like, okay. Whatever. Yeah. And you can drink those all night and have like 5 or 6 of them, have a great time. We've been here drinking like good ones and it's so much easier. It's been
good ones.
Hey, Sean, while you're talking about your rap parties, I'm sure Aaron can comment on this too. Can we talk about you sent us pictures of you like half posing with celebrities in the background?
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Who was your favorite celebrity that I posted?
Well, I don't want to say their names, but you're like, here's me and Shmila Shmunis. And she's like 7 feet behind you.
You know, when you take the post, she's like really close. And obviously, she's not going to talk to me. But she's like right behind me. And then when you take like a secret photo with the front facing camera, it does not come out very good. It's like this grainy Sasquatch of a.
That's what I was going to say. It always is super grainy. You can't tell who it is, because my favorite one was Tiffany Haddish, because she did not look like Tiffany Haddish at all. I almost didn't believe you. I was like, no.
Are you insane. That's like the clearest one ever. It was so
fuzzy. You're insane. Like, that picture is Are you crazy? Terrible.
I took a selfie of myself with her taking a normal photo.
We're going to put it on
Aaron,
Instagram.
I bet Sean has these pictures blown up and
they're on his wall.
In his living room of him adjacent to celebrities.
One of them that I took, I sent to Cade, and he was like, "Is that Jaqueline from the Key and Peele sketch?" And I'm like, "You goddamn right it was."
Oh, I love it.
It's fun. But anyway, these are better gin and tonics than those. And yes. I think that was the point. I don't really remember it.
No,
like,
no.
Now, I don't remember where I was going with that.
I'm picking up what you're putting down. Like, okay. what you put into the gin and tonic. Like we said before, what you put in is what you're going to get out. It is all about your ingredients. You need to use a good gin because it is it's a strong spirit. And either you want your gin to come through and your tonic water to be a minor accompaniment, or you want to balance it out. And the same thing with the citrus. Like, do you want it to be forward or do you want it to just complement? So pick your ingredients wisely. And there's, again, it's a huge, broad ocean of things you can choose from. So just
put sorbet in there.
Aaron mentioned that earlier.
A lot of them are subtle differences, but like you're able to like tune what you think is really good.
It's
like for me, adding a little bit of lemon tonight really made me realize, like, wow, that goes a long way. I can't believe I was never putting lemon in my gin and tonics until tonight.
Exactly. It's such a delicate drink. All these little tiny factors. You can add one little sprig of mint and really change the flavor and the composition of the drink. So it's a good drink to experiment with and have fun with and have, you know, seven or eight of.
apparently you can do that very easily.
So guys, I hope you learned something. I hope you enjoyed this pod.
I hope you didn't.
Yeah.
I hope you learned nothing.
Hey, we're also available on Pocket Cast now, Rusty.
Oh,
I hope you pick it up and enjoy it. And
Schmursty.
We're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Pocket Cast, and Spotify, and Anchor FM. If you'd like to listen to us there, you can catch us. And we're also available on Instagram.
Drop us a comment at HIII_DADZ on Instagram if you would prefer another medium.
Yeah, we insta
tell us what your podcast life is like.
What?
I gotta be honest with y'all. I didn't know Pocket Cast. I had no idea what that
was. I never heard of that.
Yeah,
we have a friend. We have a friend who lives in the Northeast, and we're like six episodes in now, and we're like, "So, man, like, do you have any feedback? Like, what do you think we could do better?" And he goes, "I didn't listen to it." And we were kind of like, "Okay, all right, cool. What, you just don't have time? You got a couple kids?" He's like, "No, you're not on Pocket Cast." I'm like, "What? What is Pocket Cast, Grandpa?" He's like, "It's just the first time I listened to a podcast.
It's only the most cool podcast.
It was a Pocket Cast. Earth. And so that's just what I'm comfortable with. And it's the best. And that's why I listen to podcasts on. Y'all aren't in there. So I don't listen to y'all."
What's fun about this is I'll never ask him again if he listens. And we'll just see if he gets this far in, because he'll for sure say something to me.
Well, I guess I have to keep this part in.
You know what I think would be fun, Cade?
Yeah.
Is if we leave and go play Rocket League right now.
And then the second thing is, if you should play this episode in reverse, like you should put all of the drunk parts at the beginning and all of the sober parts at the end, and just have like you should introduce your drink first and then Sean and then me, or however the order was.
So you want the episode to get more boring as people listen?
Yes.
that's not how media works, man.
No, you want to bring them in. More boring, but we were on point in the beginning.
you want to memento our podcast?
Memento the Fresh Maker.
All right, guys, let's go play some Rocket League. I love each and every inch of both of you.
Whoa.
So much.
I love you guys. I don't know about each and every inch of you, but I love you guys.
I love you, Cade. You're perfect. Aaron, you're beautiful, and I love you.
and you're beatboxing.
I won't do anything about it.
Beatboxing is amazing. You're doing great, bud. Do you? I love you.
Bye, dads.